Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As a child, my parents or caretakers would tell me these warnings, although now they seem like common sense, or at least they should be. And perhaps you've said these same warnings before, maybe you've told others. Perhaps you've heard, "Don't touch that, it's hot, you'll burn your hand." Maybe you heard that on Thursday, or, "Don't eat that, it's been on the ground. You better button up your jacket so you don't get a cold. Look both ways before crossing the street so you don't get hit by a car." At some point in our lives, we've said these warnings or maybe been told these warnings as well. We give warnings like these to children and those we love to protect and prevent them from serious harm. We might give them to guide people on the right path and to help them become cautious and alert. We do it for their good. And in order to teach them. Today, on the last Sunday of the church year, Jesus gives us a general warning about the end times. He says, "Stay awake." He gives us this warning and others like it with the same intentions in mind that we have when we give our children and others warning. He does it to protect us from spiritual harm and spiritual death. He does it to lead us on the right path. He does it in order to teach us. In a time when we have things like the Pittsburgh shooter, when we hear threats of terrorism and wars, when we see Christians be persecuted, when we witness all sort of bad calamities like the California forest fires, our Lord's words and warnings really couldn't be more relevant if we tried. So this morning, let's listen to what Jesus warns us about. Last week, our gospel text talked about some of the signs of the end times. They were things like the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, the emergence of false prophets in Christ, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and persecutions. Jesus says that these are signs of the end times, and it's on the heels of this that our text this morning begins. He gives us a warning about what the last day is like in order to teach us. He says that after the temple is destroyed and those tribulations, he says the last day will come. And he gives us a brief description of what it's like. He says the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall and the powers of heaven will tremble. In the midst of what sounds like the universe collapsing and unraveling at the very seams, Jesus says he will come on the clouds with great power and glory. We will see his full divinity revealed when he comes back for the second time. It will really be quite a sight. But why does he come back? Why not just direct events from his heavenly throne? Well, he comes back to get you. He says that he will send out his angels and will gather his elect. That's you, his people, believers. Our text here doesn't mention his coming back to defeat Satan and the evil angels and the demons or to punish unbelievers. He will certainly do those things, but our text doesn't focus on that. It focuses on something else. Our text mentions that he comes back to get you, to gather his people, those whom he has chosen from before the foundation of the world. He will raise your body if you are from the dead or if you're still living. He will take you to be with him as all of this chaos and destruction is going on. His coming for us, the elect, removes all fear of judgment. It will certainly be a frightening day, but because of Christ, we have nothing to fear. He gives us this warning and description about the last day to teach and comfort us. For as believers, his coming is not a bad thing, but really a good thing. We're going to be with him. And as he finishes his teaching and warning about the last day, he finally answers a question his disciples asked him all the way back in verse 4. They asked, "When will the temple be destroyed?" And like a politician, in verses 28 to 32, he finally gets around to answering their question although in a vague way. Jesus warns that although we knew the time frame for the destruction of the temple, he says we won't have any time, any idea of the time frame for when he will return. And to help illustrate this, he uses the example of a fig tree. When fig trees become tender and begin to sprout leaves, you know that summer is just around the corner. And perhaps a good example for here might be this. When you start seeing vendors in all of their vehicles, when you start seeing buses and more bus stops, when you start seeing parking signs everywhere, people out walking, snelling, having bumper-to-bumper traffic, the weather is hot and muggy, and Roseville is extra crowded with nowhere to park, what is it a sign of? The state fair, right? When you see these things happening, you know the state fair is around the corner or is going on or maybe even finished, even if you don't know the date or the time. Jesus says that when the disciples and people would see these false prophets and conflicts and persecutions, they would know that Jerusalem would soon be destroyed. He said it would happen within a generation, about 40 years. And his words came true in 70 AD when it was leveled by the Romans. And as he concludes his warning, he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that date or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Only our Heavenly Father knows when he will have Jesus return. People in our world might say, "I figured it out. I know the day." Don't listen. Jesus tells us that although the two constant things in human history, the world and the universe, will pass away, he says one thing will remain, and that's his word. It will never pass away. His word that says you are forgiven and free. His word that says he loves and cares for you. His word that says he is your God who works all things for your good, even the bad things. His word that promises these things will endure, even when everything else does not. This word will remain. Jesus gives us this warning to guide us to the only thing that will never pass away or perish. Him and his word, although we don't know when he will return, we have the one thing that will remain, the one thing we can base our lives on as we wait for him, his word. And as we look at our text, we see Jesus giving us one last warning to keep us from spiritual harm and death. He says, "Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." To be awake is to be active and alive in your faith. It's repenting of your sin and being of a right relationship with Christ through faith. And his sleep imagery is rather really effective. If the boss were to go away for a little bit and you were feeling tired and you decided to go to sleep, you would be ineffective. You'd be inalert. You'd be unaware of what is going on. You would only be awakened if they came back or if something bad had happened that had woken you up. When you're sleeping, you're just unaware and out of it. You don't know what's going on. And kind of keep this in mind as Jesus gives us this illustration and story to talk about the importance of being awake. He says, it's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeepers to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. Jesus warns us to not be sleeping, which means to ignore the fact that he is coming back. It's disbelieving and doubting that fact, and really living in a way that might reflect it. Jesus doesn't want to find us living a life like that. But as Christians, sometimes we can be too guilty of that. For all too often, we think that Jesus isn't coming back anytime soon or even in our lifetime. And sometimes we can reflect that we can be tempted to think that we can prepare our hearts and change our lives in the future and forget the need to do it today. But that's a dangerous mindset, since we don't know when the last day will be or when our last day on earth will be. Jesus wants us to be alive and active in our faith. He wants us to be ready and awake. And to help with that, he has given us tasks to do to keep us busy and up for his return. For we stay awake when we faithfully live in the stations and places that God has put us in. And when we do the things associated with it, it could be cooking dinner as a spouse, changing a dirty diaper as a parent, changing the waste basket as an employee, helping a sibling with homework, or as a friend, maybe help them with a task. We stay awake for the end times by telling others about our Lord through our words and through our deeds. We stay awake for his coming by remaining in his word, the one thing that will endure, and by clinging to him in faith. But we see that Jesus is the one who keeps us awake and makes us ready for his return, because he's paid the price for our sin on his first coming. He died for us so that we could be his own and be with him in paradise. He died for us to make us ready for his coming. He sends his Spirit to create and sustain faith in us. For by faith our Lord preserves us by his Spirit, so that we are ready for his coming, whether it be today, tomorrow, or in the future. In Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear for his coming. By faith in him, we are ready. So stay awake. There is work to be done, and our Lord is coming. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.